You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What is up, Goat Flippers? I am your host, Lurk. Thanks for checking out this week's episode of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast, the number one hardcore and metal-related podcast on all of the internet. On this episode of the show, as you've already seen in the title, we were lucky enough to catch up with Massimiliano Cavallera, a.k.a. Max Cavallera. Chances are, even if you don't know who Max is, he has been a part of a bunch of bands that you probably have listened to or still listen to. The Brazilian guitar player has lent his abilities to many bands over the years, bands such as Sepultura, Nailbomb, Soulfly, The Cavallera Conspiracy, and most recently his heavy band supergroup called Killer Be Killed, which he does alongside with Ben from Converge, Troy from Mastodon, and Greg from Dillinger Escape Plan. Max has spent over 30 years in the metal world just slaying guitar. His writing and performance credits are almost endless if we go back and look throughout the years. We could spend hours talking about that alone. A few weeks ago, actually, we were able to catch up with Max over Zoom while he was out on tour with Soulfly. If I remember correctly, this was right after Mark Rizzo had left the band and Max had announced that Dino from Fear Factory was taking his place on this tour. One negative downside to doing these Zoom podcast is that we are at the whim of the internet connection where our guest is at. I warn you to say that Max's audio may be intermittent or slower or a little bit off maybe when you're listening to this because he was, again, on tour in the parking lot of a venue on his tour bus. So internet options are limited, but we did manage to get a full podcast out, and it is really good if you're able to kind of go through those little bumps. Whether this is your first time checking out the show or you're a return listener, if you enjoy the content we're doing here on the Van Flip, please take the time out of your day to go ahead and follow or like us on whatever platform you're currently listening to us on. And if you have a couple extra seconds and you want to leave a rating and review, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Don't forget to visit lambgoat.com for everything hardcore and metal related. Follow Lambgoat on social media. Give us a like on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Lambgoat. Head over to the Lambgoat YouTube page, and you can find all of these podcasts in video format, plus other Lambgoat bonus content. While you're there, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and the alert bell so you're always notified when new episodes or content is uploaded. And if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host of the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lurk City. That's LurkCity.
Oh, yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh, yeah, this is Oh, no. Lamb Goat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
What is up? Welcome back to the Van Flip Podcast. In this episode, we're going to jump the fuck up, you know? So we are sitting here with Max Cavallera of Sepultura, Soulfly, Nailbomb, Killer Be Killed. The list goes on as to what his accolades add up to. He's been in the business for quite some time. And also, I am joined by Alex, webmaster of Lamb Goat. He has graced us with his presence yet again on this episode of the Van Flip. So first off, Max, thanks for taking the time out of your day to chat with us. We have been looking forward to this, and we're glad you're here, man.
I'm glad to be here chatting with you guys. I still got some voice left. I've been screaming every night.
Yeah, you're on tour but, right now.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. I am. Okay. Yeah, we're in St. Louis today. It's going great. It's going really, really good. Super excited to be back after 2 years. It's been a lot of fun.
Are things, dramatically different with the pandemic? Does it impact the routine for you?
Everybody in the bus have to be very careful, because of course, anybody in the bus gets sick, we have to stop the tour. You know, we don't want to do that. But apart from that, it's been pretty great, man. Like, the fans are so hungry for live music, and we're, you know, so It's been just really, really an amazing experience.
So you guys, you guys are in like a bubble, I assume, while you're on tour. You guys don't necessarily kind of, you know, venture outside of your core group. You're kind of like maintaining a bubble so you can kind of keep everyone somewhat healthy.
We do, yeah. So we try to keep, you know, it's kind of like much as you can. Most of us stays in the bus like more than ever before. So it's kind of a, it's interesting, but it's been great. Like, I think like the shows itself, it's fucking amazing, man. Like, you can feel the people are starving for metal. They're starving for music. And to be able to give, go there and give back, share and exchange that energy, adrenaline. It's like 2 years of every show is either sold out, closed or sold out. I think people just really want to go out and just be part of something exciting. And I don't blame them. I had kind of cabin fever myself at home. You know, it was rough. But it's just been really great, like playing the songs. And we're playing a new song for, it's going to come out next year. It's got amazing response. We're playing a lot of stuff that people didn't expect it. Even stuff like Boom and Unleash. We're doing a little Fear Factory jam because we got Dino with us. So there's a little, you know, Fear Factory jam in the end. It's cool, man. It's just a celebration of metal. Like, we all love metal so much. And you know, the fact that me and him hooked up, we've been friends for 30 years. Also, this is the 30-year anniversary of Arise. So we throw Arise in the set as well. So it's a big metal party. It's cool. People leave the venue, big smiles, like, yeah, you know, I was part of something cool and special. You get that kind of feeling, which is quite cool to be part of it, man. You know, so I'm just excited. And we have, like, a lot of shows. There's not many days off. We book shows every day. So
constantly going.
Just rolling, but it's pretty exciting.
How is it having Dino in the group, you know, finally after all these years? Because obviously he's replacing your guitar player that left. So how has that been on the tour thus far? I know he was on the podcast not too long ago, so he's kind of a cool dude, but obviously he's like a riff master in his own way as well. So it must be kind of cool to have him on stage with you guys too.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, the way that we revamp every song with Dino, we actually run a fine comb through every song and almost like gave a facelift on every song and make with his sound, because we know we had this opportunity. You got the Fear Factory crunchy sound match with Soulfly sound. It's a perfect match, and it's a no-brainer that it just got super, super more tighter, aggressive, more aggressive. And he's a shredder, man. A lot of people that don't know, I was surprised. I was like, damn, Dino, you know, you really can, he shreds on top of that too. Oh. But yeah, just going through every motion, every song, we are kind of like trying to play them back to the original roots of the song. So it was really cool to go back to the first record and all those quirky guitar effects that are on the record. Dino is reproducing all of them. And that's fun. That is a lot of fun because I have never played this into detail on like outros. That's like a minute and a half outro that we recreated perfectly. Sounds just like the record. Apart from that, it's really a set. There's a lot of bounce groove stuff in the beginning, and then there's a lot of fast stuff, Dead Behind the Eyes, Carving Side. Blood, Fire, Hate, and then towards the end, we go a little bit back to some of the bouncers of like Boom and Fire. It's fun, man. You know, it's like he's a great friend. One of the years that was supposed to happen, and it did happen right now. So I couldn't ask for a better guy to fill in for this tour than Dino. And you know, the mood in the bus is amazing. It's like everybody super excited, super pumped to be back on the road.
Now you helped,
and, yeah, and it sounds really great.
You helped Fear Factory get signed, right, back in the day.
Yeah, you know, like was kind of cool. There's a Dino tells the story better, but he had a cassette with Big God on it, and I loved that cassette, and I was listening on my walk, man. I didn't want to give him back. It's like, no, I'm keeping this. This fucker's mine. You ain't getting the shit back. And we kind of like wrestled a little bit. He got the tape out of me. And I was in contact with Monty, and I told Monty, like, you should sign them, man. Like, I think I said, they're the future of metal. You know, you're missing out. Fear Factory is the future of metal, you know. So I love that whole – I love his passion about riffing. It's really similar to mine. We sit down and we riff for, like, 5 hours straight the second day he was here in town. It was ridiculous. Like, we sat in my house with amps. And we just read for 5 hours. Like, that's how we talk.
Yeah.
It was great.
Well, he should really,
I love his enthusiasm.
He should be doing this tour for free, you know. No, I was just saying he shouldn't get paid for this. He's in debt to you for launching Fear Factory's career. It would only be fair that he doesn't get paid, right? Nah, I'm guessing that wouldn't go over too well.
Yeah, I mean, we're just really old. We're just really, really old friends and that love what we do. We call ourselves, it's like they call in the metal world, lifers. You know, we're in this for life. It's like mafia. It's like the mob. It's like the mob. You can't get out. Once you're in, you can't get out.
You're going to keep doing this forever? Is that your plan till your 70s and 80s? You're going to still be doing the metal thing, or are you gonna maybe take up folk or country or something easier on the body?
Hell no! I'm metal to the grave.
He's passed the torch on too. Obviously, his son, and you know, Max and his son do some live stream stuff where they kind of riff with each other as well. Do you not?
Yeah. Zion's a drummer. He's been with us now. This is fourth record. He really brings a lot of energy and youth, enthusiasm, kind of like he has a really cool style of drumming that I have not really seen much out there. It's a bit Keith Moonish. You know, it's really kind of fucking schizophrenic, almost like, like fucking arms waving, bobbing around. And he does one thing that I never seen a play with a drummer before that. Every night he changes, he hits something different on the same part. So every night he would hit it something in a different way than last night. That keeps it fresh. That keeps like, he's not like a robotic drummer that plays everything exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because that keeps exciting. You know, like I never know what he's going to do. Because he changes every night from the pattern, but he, you know, keeps the beat. But it's really, really exciting to play. And then I work really, real close with him on this new record. We like rehearse a lot, making the songs, and that's, you know, we're playing one new song. It's called Filth Upon Filth, and the reaction has been amazing. I was hoping they would have dropped the song out before the tour so people could hear and be more familiarized, but I guess they're still working on some of the record stuff. But, it's a great vibe being out here playing and like just kind of like you say, like passing the torch, you know. I'm not getting ready to retire or anything. I love what I do, man. I'll be without knowing what to do if I retire. It'd be like misery. It'd be like, you know, so I gotta keep doing what I do. It's in the blood.
What do you think, if you hadn't gone down the metal road, you know, what do you think Max Cavalera at age, you know, your age would be doing if not a metal musician? Is that something you can even ponder?
I like driving a lot. So maybe a bus driver, truck driver, would have been an option. I like driving a lot. I'm not that good, but I'm not that bad. I'm an okay driver. I like painting a lot, you know, so that's like kind of like my hobby. Like I paint a lot of drum heads, mm-hmm. On tour.
You live in,
I live in Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess you have a lot of nice landscapes for art. You've been in Arizona for what, since the early 90s? How did you end up there?
So all the Sepultura crew are based in Phoenix, you know. So every time we finish a tour, almost all the time we all would go back to Phoenix, and we hang out there for a week, and then go back to Brazil. And more I hang out there, more I like it. And of course, I got hooked up with Gloria, and then I started staying in her house. And then, you know, I decided to move in, and it was time to get out of Brazil. So I moved in with her, which was really great because we wanted to kind of start a family. You know, my dream was always create this very organic, natural metal family. That's for real. Everybody loves the metal, and everybody works for metal, for the same goal. So we started real early. You know, we had our kids, Zion and Igor, around 95. And 95, 97. And she has also had other kids that I had adopted them. And so it was a full house. And it was great because it became... The dream came true. It's kind of a cool name, right? Full Metal House. Full Metal Family.
Sitcom.
Full Metal House, Full Metal Family.
It's going to be like, it's kind of like the Partridge Family, but the metal version. Is that what you're trying to get at?
The Full Metal House. But no, man, it's cool. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. We have an extended large family. And end up doing something like we go on tour. Richie, he sings for Inside. He's selling shirts on this tour for us. I also did another project with you guys reviewed it. Go Ahead and Die with my other son, Igor. That record was a lot of fun. We did that during the pandemic, you know. So I tried to do a little bit with every different person, but it's kind of like the two dreams that I had was creating a family, a metal family that everybody was involved in the metal, and then also live for music because I love music, you know, just live for the passion, just live for what you love, and everything that you do is connected to metal, to music. And that's why I have so many projects and stuff. I love the sharing the metal with other guys. You know, I have Killer Be Kill, Go Ahead and Die, Soulfly, Cavalera with my brother. It's fun to go to one to the other. They're pretty different people involved. Keeps it really exciting and really for me is. It's just a lot of fun to go from project to project. I prepare for them, and it is in a way it's very inspiring because you learn so much from playing with all the other musicians, that you bring all that knowledge into whatever you're doing. Like my main band is Soulfly, so I bring all the knowledge that I get from Killer BQ, from Cavalera, from Go Ahead and Die. I bring all that into Soulfly, and so it works out pretty good.
Yeah, it seems like you would have a lot of other influences that you can be exposed to by working with these other people as well. I mean, obviously you linked up with a bunch of people from other bands that are already well established in like Kill or Be Killed and such. But if you had to choose out of all your projects, and I'm sure this changes over time, but like, what's your favorite project to work on?
That's like choosing one of your kids.
That's what I was saying. You know, it probably changes with time and over the years, but you know,
it does. I mean, I like the vibe in Killer BQ a lot because it's kind of a cool, you know, see each other. But when you see each other, it's really excited. Like, man, you know, like it's been 6 months. Let's do something. And the records are created, capturing this energy that is formed when the four of us are together. It's mm-hmm. like we just go in a room and create and record. But I also really love getting ready for tours, like the Soulfly tour, like this one especially. I think I was saying the other day, I have never been this excited to be going on tour since my Brazilian days, man. You know, like when we used to, like, we're going on tour in Europe, you know, for the first time. And I was like, fuck, super fired up. Oh my God, we're going to Europe, you know. And then the pandemic did that to us, made us nuts. Like,
right.
But when this tour was announced, I was like counting the days, like, I cannot wait, you know. So I was super excited to get back on the road. And then, you know, with the changes and having Dino, we all went down there and practiced and rehearsed, and the songs got new life. You know, it was like new blood injected into Soulfly. That's also a lot of fun. And you know, Go Ahead and Die was just this thing I want to do with my son. Even if nobody liked the record, if the whole world hated the record, I was still okay with it. Because I just want to do an album with my kid. You know, right. It's one of those father and son things, you know. Some father and son build Legos. Some of them go camping. We made a metal record, a crusty caveman riff metal record.
There you go.
So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, all of them have their different little things about it that make them special. And of that's course. Why for me to go from one to the other is so much fun.
Speaking of Kill or Be Killed, you guys haven't really had the chance to support that record that came out this past year or so. Do you guys plan on doing anything together as a group? Because I know like Greg is doing some things with Jerry Cantrell. You're doing the Soulfly tour right now. So, you know, do you have any plans to maybe do a couple dates, or is that just on the shelf right now because everyone's busy?
Yeah, right now we're just waiting. Even kind of like waiting to see how the world opens up and goes back to normal. But I think next year, for sure, we have this, hopefully the whole year in front of us, open with all kinds of possibilities. And all those things would be great if we were able to materialize and make it into something real, like a real tour. And, you know, we already got announced on the Maryland Death Fest with my brother playing Beneath the Remains and Arise. And that's super exciting. I like that a lot. I think that's going to be cool because we're probably going to do a little tour around that time. But yeah, maybe in the summer or in the fall, we can get something going with KBK. It would be cool. I would love that.
Yeah. That would be cool, you know, because I know you guys don't necessarily have a lot of time.
Especially America.
Right. And you don't. You guys haven't had a lot of time together in general.
We only play Australia, and it was amazing. It was like fucking out of this world. So much fun. We all felt like kids in a candy store. It was great, you know. It was like, so we're like, you want to feel that again. You really want to go back to that feeling, you know? And I think especially in America, I think a lot of people like the record. I personally thought Reluctant Hero, to me, was a little bit better than the first one. It was more evolved, was more well thought out and planned. And now with two records, we can make a real cool set list. Do a headline run, you know. I think having in the U.S., that would have been great. I really would have loved that.
Mm-hmm. How often?
So that's next year.
How often do you get back? Do you still do you visit Brazil? Ever?
Good question. I was going to ask that too.
Yeah, my mom is down there and a lot of friends and stuff. And I go there every. When we were touring regularly, it was at least once every 2 years. Because we have massive fans down there. It's real massive. You know, it's killer.
Yeah, are you like. You're like Tom Cruise when you walk around Brazil, or
yeah, right. That's it's like I don't know, man. It's like it's weird. It's a real complicated kind of a relationship with Brazil. But the one thing that you cannot deny is the passion and the respect that they have for everything I did for the country and bringing out records like Roots and Soulfly with the percussion, not just Brazil but all Central South America, Central America. They all really respect that. They all really give you know, they love that. They love that they show it. A couple of times, I think it was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we went down there and it was a Soulfly show. And the Soulfly show was booked by the fans. The fans wanted the show. So they made signature, kind of like how you get sometimes people to do signatures
like
and then they give it to a petition and they give it to the mayor. They did that, which was fucking incredible. And I was like, what's going on here? It's like, yep, they did it. All your fans in São Paulo sign up to bring Soulfly to São Paulo. And we got booked and it was an incredible show. Incredible. Amazing. What an experience. And knowing that every single person, there was like, you know, 4,000 people, every one person that was so connected and wanted to be there. And it was like, it came from them. It was not your typical, I'll pay the band comes. It came from the fans. That was really special. That was cool.
Yeah, I would assume like you and your brother are like the biggest, not even metal people, but just like alternative, like non-pop stars down there, right? Like you guys are the biggest to come out of Brazil for the most part, I would assume, right?
Yeah, when I go there with him, it's actually kind of it's insane. Like you get like, you know, a little Beatlemania type thing. The airport with like fans with banners, you know, flags.
Yeah.
People chasing the van, like especially Argentina. They do that in Argentina and Chile. They chase the van on their motorbikes, and I'm like scared shitless. This guy's gonna get on a rat. I'm like, it's gonna crash.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see something terrible. Don't do that. Just go slow. I'll give you, you know, we'll sign your shit. We'll take your picture in the hotel, man. Please don't die. You know, that kind of situation. it's cool. Like, it's almost like this kind of stuff. As you get older, it's like we reach a peak when we were doing Roots that we were pretty popular, especially in like South America, but also in Europe, we're playing big places. And then I started Soulfly. We went back to a lot of the shitholes in a lot of the small clubs. And so after all these years, you don't really expect that you're going to get the same things that happened in 1989, 90 fans in the airport and all that crazy. And all of a sudden you get hit with that again after 30 years. Mm. It's a trip, man. You know, it's like somebody put me in a time tunnel. Somebody put me in, and it's 1989 all over again.
Well, I can
it's pretty great. It's pretty great. I love the fans.
I mean, I remember how much buzz there was about Sepultura in America, you know, when I was a teenager and MTV was on board. You know, you see Dave Grohl on the screen talking about how much, you know, this new band Sepultura was going to blow people away. And then, you know, just I dive down that rabbit hole on YouTube sometimes where I'll watch you guys download or wherever. And it's just, it's amazing. I mean, just thousands and thousands of fans that at that time for an extreme metal band, whatever kind of metal you want to call it, especially for a group that wasn't American, because some Americans can be a bit elitist. It was very cool. And I think I first saw you guys in when I was a teenager at the Trocadero in Philadelphia. I think it was the Chaos AD tour. And Fudge Tunnel was opening.
Wow. Fear Factory was there.
See, I don't remember Fear Factory. I feel like it was Fudge Tunnel, then Sepultura, but it doesn't matter.
Clutch and Fear Factory.
Okay.
All I know. Yeah, man, you know, it's...
I was just going to say, you know, I've gone to a ton of shows over the years, and whenever people ask me the roughest show I was ever at, it was that Trocadero Sepultura show. Like, I literally went to the bathroom at one point and there was like a mini mosh pit in the bathroom. And
yeah,
I never forgot that shit. Have you, speaking of Fudge Tunnel, and your nail bomb comrade, Alex Newport, I haven't heard anything. What's he up to these days? Have you talked to him anymore?
A little bit. We keep in touch, through Gloria. Gloria has a lot of, you know, friends, and she always tells me that he says hi, and you know, personally I have not talked to Alex in a while. Last time I talked to him was a couple years ago when I asked him the permission to play Nail Bomb. I wanted to go on tour playing those songs, and he said, yeah, of course, go ahead, have fun. I'm not doing it. I'm done with that shit. You go ahead and have fun with it. But yeah, you know, we're playing Nail Bomb on this tour. Like I said, this tour is almost like a little celebration of this 35 years in metal. Because you have two guys like me and Dino that's been through all the trenches. We've been put to the grinder, man, you know, and come out on the other side. So we're celebrating that survival of the fittest. You know, it's like that.
How do you remember all those lyrics, man? I think I need a teleprompter or something.
I'm still old school. Sometimes I write it down and I give to my roadie and put in front of me. That was the case with Unleash. I don't remember the lyrics of Unleash. And what was the other one? I had we're doing a new version of Jump the Fuck Up where we play more parts. So we played the whole ending of it. The Corey sings, I'm a self-destruct piece of shit. Smear me in. I don't want you a goddamn thing. This life has never had a swing. I don't want to be a legend of anything. Cause the longer I'm around, the better off you'll be. Get ready for epitome. Come on and pity me. Would you kill me if I say please? Bow, bow, bow. So that one I kind of remember, which are great. Those are great Corey lyrics, by the way. Amazing.
Yeah, those are some amazing. Those are some early Corey lyrics there, too. That was way back in the day before they got super popular.
Yeah. I love the opening line. I'm a self-destructive piece of shit. It's like, yes. It's like, that's just like, don't fuck with me, motherfucker.
Do you still keep
a lot of us feel that way?
Do you still keep up with
right,
like Corey and everybody?
It's great. Yeah, we're still friends. We see each other in festivals most of the time now. it's always on festivals. We see all, mostly, all the guys in other bands like that. I did a podcast for Clown the other day. It was a couple months ago. The Electric Theater. Right, that was right. Really cool. We got to shoot the shit. It was really good memories. We talk a lot about the early days. That collaboration, Jump the Fuck Up, is still one of my favorite tracks, collaboration tracks. It's kind of wild because I didn't know where Corey was going to sing. So I had the whole track done, the music, but we never talk about where we're going to sing the parts. And I went to his sound check. They were playing in Phoenix, and I kidnapped him from his sound check. You're not sound check tonight. You come into the studio. You come recording with me. So my friend had this piece of shit beat up car. We drove car. You know, car is probably thinking, "What the fuck am I signing up to? This motherfucker's a crazy." We go to the studio, and the producer just press record, and we start singing our parts. And if naturally everybody got their own part perfect, it was pretty wild, man. It's like, seems like it was a lot more elaborate. It would have taken a long time to figure out who's singing where, but it didn't. It was like, right. I don't know, everything was on the fly. Like right there, live. One of my coolest memories was listening to the playback of what we just got done singing. Corey and me are in the room, and he's like headbanging and jumping in the room, going fucking nuts. And I was like, this is fucking cool, man. This is why we do this. This is why metal is so cool. Because, you know, I don't know, like sometimes you go see a pop artist collaboration, and just, you know, they sing their part and just like, yeah, whatever, I'm done with this. And not this. This is like, is so cool. Headbanging and screaming and hugging, high-fiving. Like, yeah, we did it. It's going to be a sick track.
It's a lot more feeling involved.
That kind of feeling, you know. I think the producer even says something like, oh, stop sucking each other. Wait till the record comes out. So you were like, shut up, man. Let us enjoy our fucking moment, motherfucker.
Yeah. Speaking of that record, Sean Lennon appeared, or you and Sean did a track, if I recall correctly. How on earth did you hook up with him?
That was crazy. So we were on our way to Australia for the Big Day Out Festival. And I look at my side on the airplane. There's Sean sitting. And I was like, oh, shit, you're Sean Lennon. And he goes, yep, you're Max Cavalera. And I was like, yep. We got 15 hours of sitting across each other, you know. So we start shooting the shit, you know, talking about, you know, music. He loved his first Soulfly. Told me that record was one of his favorite records. And he loves a lot of Brazilian music. So we talk a lot about Brazilian Mutantes and Jorge Benjor. A lot of Brazilian percussion. And then we get to Australia, we're sharing the same dressing room right next to each other again. It's like, this got to be, you know, space, the world is telling me something. I better listen.
Yeah, it's fake. Yeah.
It's like, so I invited him. I said, come on, I'm working on a new Soulfly record. You like to be part of it? We can do something very different, very out of the box, you know? So, yeah, he came to Phoenix for like a week. We work on the track. It's kind of cool. It's like Beatles meets Sepultura meets Soulfly. You know, it's like one of those, how you figure this is going to come out? I don't know. Let's just do it. See what happens. But it's cool. It's like an amazing track. I love the piano he put in the end, you know. He played the Rhodes piano. It's like a really beautiful piece. You know, I love that.
Yeah, no, that was definitely cool. I remember, you know, when that album came out, and looking at the liner notes, and just because I was a you know, in addition to being a Sepultura and a Soulfly fan, I was a big Beatles fan. And I was just like, oh, shit, Sean Lennon, Soulfly record? That doesn't make sense. But it did. That was cool.
My wife was a big Beatles fan. I myself was not really that much into Beatles.
I feel you, Max. I'm not into them either.
Whatever. I was like, this is really cool. Like, this guy's son of a fucking legend. You know, he's a real legend. Like, but he's a humble, super humble guy. He didn't want to stay in a hotel. He's like, can I stay in your house? You know, I was like, yeah, if you don't mind the noise and kids and, you know, the whole madness that goes around my house. If you don't care about that, you can stay at our place, you know, so. We got to hang out a lot. We play a lot of foosball. I have foosball tables. And he kicked all of our asses. He kicked everybody. I was the champion until Sean came to town. Then he took my crown.
See, I never would have guessed that Sean Lennon would beat a Brazilian at foosball.
Dude, made me look bad. Like, yeah, he's really good. It should be in the Olympics.
I never would have guessed that.
But in Primitive, there was a song that we recorded the sound of the foosball
ball. Right.
Nobody knows what that is. So you got to go back and listen to it. But I think it's in the end of the track. I think it's Mulambo. So you just hear, I think, like, clack, the ball goes, it hits the wall. And somebody just laughs.
I'm gonna revisit
that. That's a Sean Lennon go. He just made a go. And we recorded. We had the camera filming. I took right out of the camera. Like, we gotta put that on the record. That's a cool. I love doing shit like that. On the new Soulfly, we have a new baby in the family. And she's like only like 1 year old, but she did this growl like a very primitive. Like a little lion. And I was like recording. I was like, can she do that again? And the dad was like poking her and she did it. It's like, I'm putting that on a record. That's fucking cool.
Why not? Plus, you know, 20 years from now, she'll look back on that and be, I mean, Zion, his heartbeat is on, you know, the beginning of Chaos AD, right? That's like, you hear that freaking heartbeat, and it's so iconic. And that just must be like kind of a trip for him, you know, now that he's an adult.
Yeah, I heard somewhere, I don't know if it's true or not, but somewhere said that he's like the youngest recorded person because he's in the inside the womb.
Right.
He hasn't even come out in the world yet. And he's making his presence felt. But no, that was cool. I was in the doctor's office with headphones, microphones, death machine, bugging everybody. The nurse trying to kick me out. Man, we got to deliver a baby here, man. Get the hell out of here. It's like, I got to record this sound. Lady, you don't understand. This is a big record. This is one. This is going to be a real big metal record.
That's right. Millions of people are going to hear this, lady. Recording
lady, so chill, let me record these and I'm out of here. You can deliver the baby.
I still hear that heartbeat today, and it's just like, to me, it's just like such an iconic metal moment. I hope you gave him a songwriting credit on that one.
I don't know. I gotta revisit that, but we are playing Refuse on this tour.
Sweet.
And we are actually using the Roy Mayorga Chaos BC remix. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but Roy Mayorga, Soulfly old drummer,
right,
made a really cool, like, voodoo drums percussion intro. It was called Chaos BC, and it's killer. And I love it. It's really, really sets the vibe. And we put it right in the middle of the set, and it's pretty cool. Because, like I said, the set we're playing right now is a celebration of 35 years in metal. So we're playing everything from all the Soulfly classics, Fear Factory, Arise, Refuse, Nail Bomb. You know, it's just nice. come party with us. Come celebrate metal and the fact that you're alive. We are alive. Celebrate that. You know, it's yeah. true. It's like, it's a true feeling, man. Amazing feeling to be. We got through this. We're going through this. We're going through it together, you know. It's because there's so many different fans in the audience. You got all these like older guys I can see under. They seen me before and 30 years ago, you know. And they're there still, bobbing their head like, "Yep, still feeling it." And then you get all these young kids, sometimes 8 years old, 9 years old, man, right in the front row singing the lyric.
Yeah.
I weren't even born when those records came out.
It's the circle of, cool. I love metal life.
Yeah, the generation gap is huge. We got 60-year-old fan, 60-year-old fan in the same room.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. You know, awesome. But it's fantastic, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's probably a lot of people that are older that are bringing their kids to the shows in general because, you know, they're probably still listening to, you know, one of your projects, if not multiple projects, still to this day. Just like, you know, Alex, I'm sure, plays Sepultura or Soulfly in the house and the kids are reluctantly listening to it as well, you know, but... I'm sure they tag along. Yeah,
I don't know how they feel about it. They haven't really come around to appreciate a whole lot of metal, but I know I played a lot of Sepultura and some Soulfly around here.
Yeah, sometimes funny, like when you meet the dead and the son, and I can tell the son is be more Soulfly fan, the dad's Sepultura fan, and they're trying to tell each other which one is better. The dad, no. Sepultura with Max is much better. And they're like, nah, man. Soulfly with Max is the shit.
Yeah. What is your favorite?
And I just go, you know how you're both wrong. They both suck.
Yeah, it's easy for us. Yeah, that's a good approach for the artist or the person that creates the art.
I make fun of myself all the time, man. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, you have to be fun. You have to have fun with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to. You have to. Otherwise... So quit, because this business, they grind you. The comments are fucking heartless, man, heartless. They got, you know, they go in your soul and, like, squeeze till there's nothing left.
Yeah, well, we're definitely used to that.
You have to make fun of it. You have to just fucking ignore it, make fun of it, whatever. Just, like I said, I'm celebrating the fact that I'm alive playing with great people that I love and respect, and I'm still doing it, you know, at 52. So, just be happy. Don't take it for granted. You know what I'm saying?
What's your favorite time that you, because you've done this for 30 plus years, what is your favorite time that you've spent in any of the projects? Like, was it the time when, you know, because you've lived through so many different, I don't know, like you've lived through the nu metal phase. You've lived through, you know, the birth of like death metal and all that stuff. And you guys bring such a different kind of sound in general to metal as well. Like, and again, Killer Be Killed is different than all those other projects. So what is your favorite time that you've spent in a group or, era?
If you could set your time machine, you know, where are you setting it to?
Or is it current day? You never know. Maybe you enjoy, you know, how it is now compared to back then. I don't know. But what is it?
Everybody wants a body in their 20s, you know. Getting old sucks.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I really love the place I am right now because it's kind of like it's really – I'm really free to do whatever the fuck I want. Almost like – by the way that I behaved through the years with making all these projects, it's a bit like Mike Patton. You know, it's kind of like you kind of come to expect that from people like me and Mike, that it's not so hard when we do a new project. It's not shocking. Like, it's expected. So I feel that I have one foot in the past. I love all the old projects. Sepultura, I'm super proud of those records. They're amazing records. Even the fucked up ones like Best of Devastation, Morbid Visions, Out of Tune, super punk, black metal. And then I got one foot in the future, you know, with Go Ahead and Die, Killer Be Kill, Soulfly Tours. So I kind of like best of both worlds. But as far as having fun with the project, Nail Bomb, hands out, Nail Bomb. It was like the most I don't give a fuck about anything record I ever made. Nobody knew you were doing the record. Nobody cared. There was no pressure at all. Like, not 1% of pressure. Nothing, man. And we did it all in our house. Alex bought a sampler. We just really do it yourself kind of thing. Like two guys in the room just going nuts from morning to night, making noise and really angry lyrics. We used to call this project 1000% hate.
Yeah.
It was the hate project.
Well, that was clear from the album cover. That was just a angry, record.
Yeah, that record holds up today still. You get the lyrics, like if you listen to 24 Hour Bullshit, or if you listen to Religious Cancer, or World of Shit, all around us right now. Yeah. The album is perfect. It's like, it has aged like good wine perfectly. But it was like the most fun I had making a record because, you know, a lot of times people don't know, but it was stressful as fuck to make Chaos AD. Because we were trying to do something outside the box. You know, we already did all those fat songs and we got to do something different. What else can we do? So we slow everything down. We were borrowing from a lot of New York hardcore breakdowns. And I didn't have a name for the record to the last second. The record was going to be called Propaganda. And on the last second, like, I don't have a name. I don't have a name. And I was like, Chaos AD. That's it. Like, you don't have this. You give me a name right now or it's going to be called Propaganda, you know. And thankful enough, I came out with Chaos AD, which is a better name. But, you know, that record was stressful to make. Roots was stressful to make. We're going all new territories, going to the tribe. It was fun, but it was stressful. Soulfly 1, I should have had a heart attack making that record. Honestly, I should have been in a hospital. Like, there's no way a normal person can go through that and be okay with it. You know, so much frustration and anxiety making that record. It's like, my head's about to fucking explode. But I did it all with, you know, you got to do it with what you got, what you have in front of you. You grab all the pieces you got and almost like an army of lost toys or mutants, you know. So I had all these guys, Marcelo, Roy, Lucio.
I can't imagine the pressure you were under.
Yeah.
You know, the expectations for that.
It's like, I know how different we are from Sepultura, but we got something here that's very special too. So let's roll on that. Let's bank on that. And that's why that first record was very stressful. So for me, when I talk about Nail Bomb, it's the least no pressure. I went in the studio, got drunk every day because I was having so much fun. And I just got fucked up and recorded shit like, feels good to be a punk loser, you know? It was amazing, you know. It was a serious album. You know, the riffs and the music's all serious, but that was not 1% fucks given for the record. Mm. If people like it or don't like it, or even if nobody even knew it's gonna come out, no expectations, zero expectations. Like, we don't care. We're just gonna put it out. whatever happens, happens. And maybe that's why it's such a good record, because you didn't have any expectation.
Yeah,
probably.
So you're on the road with Dino, obviously. And you said previously, like, you guys can just speak to each other through riffing and everything. And so does that necessarily mean that we may see, like, a Dino Max collaborative effort on record at some point? Because if you guys, you know, if you guys have that relationship and that functionality between each other where you guys can, you know, feed off each other, it doesn't seem like it would take much to, you know, create another Max Cavalera project.
Right now we're just really concentrated on the tour, and I'm not really thinking, but there's definitely, there's definitely a possibility of something more, coming from this, unifying situation than just the tours, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like I said, the record is still in the making right now. It's like we're still dealing with trying to find artwork and finalizing some songs. So there's always a possibility of hopefully we have some songs with him on the, I don't know. Like, I hate to say something and then that doesn't happen. And right. Then everybody's going to be like let down. Oh shit, that didn't happen, you know? So I prefer to just let the tour go in scores, and we see after the tour what happens, you know. Like, but definitely my bond, my metal bond with Dino is special. It's very cool, man.
Like, he played on Eye for an Eye, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is crazy. Like, the first song I record after Sepultura, but we're not counting Head Up. Head Up was in the Deftones.
Deftones, yeah.
So the first song that I recorded for Soulfly is Eye for an Eye, which is tuned to G, which is very low. Mm. And Dino,
still my favorite Sepultura Soulfly song. That song, when I heard that, I was so freaking heavy. I was like, yes.
That's something. There's something
really, it again.
Yeah, there's something really primal about that song. It comes from, you know, comes from the inside. It's not a technical song. In fact, I think you can play with one string if you're in a deserted island. You got one string in your instrument. You can play Eye for an Eye, and I think you can play Smoke on the Water too. So those are the great songs. That's the simple Walk. You know, you can play Walk.
Yep.
But yeah, there's something really satisfying about the simplicity of that song and the fact that Dino plays on it. And he also played on 24 Hour Bullshit, which was on Nail Bomb. So our paths was always crossing, man. Always, like, he was always around, you know. So when this thing happened, he was like, it was cool to call him. He accepted without even blinking, and we went right into working. But the connection that when we sat down with the guitars, like I said, for 5 hours just riffing, amazing. I haven't had that in a long time. So that felt really, really good.
Right.
So go ahead if you're going to say something, Alex. I didn't want to cut you
off. No, I just wanted to be respectful of Max's time here because we're coming up on an hour.
Sure.
He's probably got a full press day, I'm guessing.
I have one more question then, so we can – it's not music-based or anything like that, but I got one more question. Max, how does someone from Brazil who lives in Arizona – and I can see on your wrist you have a Detroit Lions armband on your wrist. How does one connect with the Detroit Lions?
Great question. I don't have an answer for that. No. Well, I grew up liking, Brazilian soccer. That was my favorite sport. Until one day I watched a football game with Gloria's father, Bill. And it was a really good game. I forgot what it was. It was Cardinals and Green Bay. We went to the stadium together. And that changed my life. I was like, I love this sport. This sport is great. Oh my God, this is amazing. You know, like I think I even said, this is better than soccer, man. This is more exciting, more violent. A lot of Brazilian fans are going to be real mad at me.
We're going to trigger some people now, but.
Yeah. But you know, like, it's like I had to pick a team for my team. And I love the Cardinals. But I got to get my own. I have to have my own team. So I'm a Leo. My bird sign is a Leo. Is a lion. Detroit Lions. Let's go with them. And I remember Gloria telling me, "Oh, you're gonna get rich and lose. You better enjoy losing because you're gonna lose a lot." Yep. And I say, whatever. I like the underdog mentality.
Yeah, not a lot of winning for that team, losing. Unfortunately. Yeah, yeah.
My team also loses.
We're still losing.
Yeah, my team loses a bunch too. I'm located in North Florida, so the Jaguars are my team, and you know, we've had a rough 20 plus years.
Whatever.
Yeah, I just love the sport, man. I think football is a very metal sport with the hitting and. You know, like even like the music. I think I feel a lot of players like metal. If I was going to go play a football game, I listen to some Napalm Death and then go play football.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know, I love the sport, and I'm a big Lions fan. I've been to the stadium. I've been to Ford Field. I did a tour there, and I'm looking forward to, you know, the. This season, football season, is going to be great. We're going to watch some games on the road and watch the rest from home. But it's going to be awesome.
Nice.
Well, we appreciate your time, Max. I know you're on, like Alex said, you're on the road right now, so you probably have some other things to do throughout the day. So we're going to cut you loose here. But
go eat some ribs.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah, barbecue, some ribs, other things. You know, go see the art.
Yeah, St. Louis. Yeah. Thank you, guys. It was fun shooting the shit with y'all.
Thanks for, 35 years of kick-ass music, and I hope we got another 30 or so coming our way.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the support. I'll see you guys. Stay safe, too, all right?
You as well. We'll see you soon, man.
Take care.
Yeah, take care, man.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind, and right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick, and usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work, but we talk about decidedly not-so-grown-up things like...
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind podcast.